This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Craig Breslow leaving the door open over the weekend for Rafael Devers to play first base.
They tell Devers yet? We know their communication with Devers hasn't been great in the past.
Well, his manager, Alex Cora, shot it down very quickly. He said, from my end right now, no, about the idea of Devers playing first base. We asked him to do something in spring training, and in the beginning, he didn't agree with it. Oh, he didn't?
No, I noticed that.
And now he's very comfortable doing what he's doing at DH. So like I told you guys in spring training, he's my DH.
That so the beginning of
two
that,
weeks before that, he also said he's my third baseman. So.
Right. So the beginning of that statement also leaves a little bit of wiggle room. He uses the popular phrase right now.
Right now.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. So he's saying right now. So I guess he could change his mind. Maybe an hour after the press conference, maybe they got together and they're like, look, Casas isn't coming back. We can't have Roman Gonzalez out there all the time. It really comes down to...
I just think it's interesting because Breslow is leaving the door open clearly in that clip we just played. And Devers won't even meet with the media to talk about it. As Cotillo pointed, the media requested him three times in 36 hours. He declined all three. So he clearly doesn't want to do it and doesn't want to talk about not wanting to do it. And Cora's hung up in the middle, which I guess is an awkward spot to be in, but they pay you well. That's your job. Yeah. Figure it out. He's siding with the player now, but maybe you're right, Keith. Maybe he's siding with Devers now to move to first base and replace Tristan Casas after the season-ending injury. Maybe he's siding with Devers now just to soften the blow and ultimately get him out at first base. I think it's irrefutable. The easiest way, and we'll see if he can play it. I don't know if he could play it.
He might be terrible at
it. He might be terrible at it.
He might be the worst ever at it.
But why wouldn't you give it a shot and try it? Because if he can play there, even adequately, even a little below average defensively at first, but he gives you a good stick at first, that's the best way to win games. That's the best way to compete.
All right, why not, on the flip side, why not move Christian Campbell? Is it you're throwing a lot at him. He's a young guy.
No, I just think, I think Devers' bat plays at first. I'm not sure Campbell's does.
Yeah. Now, I mean, right now, you're coming off nothing at first base.
No, I understand. It's the same combination of guys, right? So you'd move Campbell to first. You'd play Meyer at second.
Yeah.
And Devers would remain at DH. I'd probably tweak that a little bit with Roman Anthony, find a way to get Roman Anthony up. Not at first base, but as a DH, some days in the outfield. And that's probably how I would do it, but it's very similar. You're basically getting the same combination of players out there. But I just think Devers' bat plays at first. You're right, they're getting nothing at first right now. Campbell, to me, long-term, and this is a bit of a long-term thing. I don't mean to contradict myself on winning now, but I think Campbell at second and a little bit of outfield still helps you win now. He's still in the lineup. To me, that would be the best way to get the most out of Campbell long term, while also giving you competent second base play. We also don't know that Meyer can play second.
We don't know if any of these guys can. That's the thing. They don't have a backup first baseman. They don't. So that's something that you can look at with Craig Breslow and say, all right, last year you had a guy playing 60 games because of a rib injury that just never went away. You also aren't really. He's turned down contract extensions. You have the play by play guy on the radio saying he won't be on the team next year. What is your plan at first base? Like, what do you have if Casas either struggles or gets hurt or whatever? They don't have one. They have a bunch of second basemen. They got a bunch of shortstops. They got a bunch of third basemen. They got a bunch of outfielders. They don't have a first baseman. Even Isn't Vaughn Grissom playing first in Worcester? Yep. He's not a first baseman.
Nope.
Roman Gonzalez, not a first baseman. Nope. Abraham Toro, not, like, they don't have anybody that plays first base. So I wonder if you ask Cora and Breslow, you know, future aside, hurt feelings aside, who do they think would be the best defensive first baseman? Like, I don't even know. Is that even how you start the question? Be like, all right, who could play the position? Who could pick it up the quickest? And then if the answer is Campbell or Meyer, do you ask them or are you saying, no, a young guy's got so much on their plate, they don't need to be playing a place that they're not familiar with? Because that's what I would still do. I would ask Campbell to play first base.
So you bring up Meyer. I brought up Anthony. Neither of us are planning on playing that guy at first. It doesn't sound like Craig Breslow is either. He was asked about this on Saturday. Here's what he had to say about the idea of Meyer or Anthony at first.
Would you ever experiment with Roman or Marcelo at first?
It doesn't seem like that's in the plans right now. I think both of those guys obviously are showing the ability to impact both sides of the ball. But given, I think, the bright futures that they have ahead of them at their respective positions, introducing additional variables doesn't make a ton of sense right now.
Okay, so that's an variables. That's an annoying way to say it.
That really is.
Introducing extra variables.
Yeah.
That's just an annoying way to say it, but I do agree with the approach. I'm not putting Meyer there. I'm not putting Anthony there.
No, and that's fine. I don't think those guys have to, but I just keep – I'm so fixated on Campbell because they are willing to move him, and he's not even great at
the
place
that
you play
him. Where you played him defensively, he doesn't look natural at either one.
No.
So if he's not a natural second baseman, they tried him in left field for like a game. I don't think he's going to get a lot of run in center field. So,
and Marcelo Meyer,
he's a guy who might need a position, to your
and
point.
Yeah. Meyer maybe plays second, at least for this season. And then who knows? Story's either going to get hurt or he can figure out the future with him, and then he slides over. It wouldn't be the first time that happened. I mean, you look in Baltimore, isn't the best shortstop prospect of the last few years Jackson Holliday? And he plays second, right? Like, he has to because you have one of the best players in baseball playing short. And Meyer talked to us. Bragg back at Polar Park. He just wants to play in the majors.
Friend of the show just wants to get up here. Oh, no.
Remember, we're like, hey, like, are you okay playing a different position? He's like, are you kidding me?
I bet Meyer or Anthony would do it to get up here.
They'd play first, second, third. They'd catch. They don't care. They just want
to
play.
Because they both deserve to be up here.
Yes.
I think in a lot of organizations, they would be up here. And that's a whole nother can of worms. Why aren't they here? Are they not here because they wouldn't play ball on a contract like Christian Campbell? Are they not here at minimum because the Red Sox are manipulating service time?
I think it might be that. Also, like,
it goes back to it feels to me like they don't really want to win right now. If you want to win, you get Devers at first. If you want to win, you get Anthony up here. And there's a way to do both of those easy. Devers at first, Anthony's at DH, mix him in the outfield, boom, done. There's a way to do both. And the team needs, Keith, so clearly needs something. They're flat.
Oh, they are.
And calling up, the top prospect in baseball, or to a lesser degree. And trust me, I'd love Meyer here too.
Bring them both up.
But the team needs something like that.
Yeah.
And why aren't you doing it? You don't want to win? You're more worried about manipulating their service time and their contracts instead of trying to get your best team out on the field? Because let me tell you, no offense to Romy Gonzalez or great guy David Hamilton, I don't need to see those guys out there. They're not helping you win baseball games.
It is funny. I think it was last week Cora was on with Hart and Fitzy, and he was like, it's a great time to be a Red Sox. I think he jinxed everybody because since then, Casas has gotten hurt. They've lost a bunch of games. They're now 500. Like, I don't think it's a great time to be a Red Sox right now.
Nope.
They don't have a first baseman. They are blowing leads left and right. They're going back to not being able to field the position. David Hamilton, once again, looking at you. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess. And it's funny, when Cora and Breslow have been asked recently or even in the past about Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer playing first base, which neither one, you and me aren't doing that, but that has been a plan that's been tossed out there. It's a lot different when it's, hey, let's make this guy change positions because Casas is struggling.
Right.
Versus Casas is done for
the year. We have nobody to play there.
Because then it's like, well, how do you get Casas back on track? And then, like, are you platooning him? And you're right. That doesn't make any sense. But now that spot is just open, there's a vacancy at the major league level. Now you really do need to consider all options.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Red Sox struggling. They got to replace Tristan Casas on top of their struggles. They're 18-18 here in early May, Cinco de Mayo. So how do you fix the Red Sox?
That's right, Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, big day.
Oh, hell yeah.
They were doing
Margarita
their,
night.
They were doing their top nacho destinations in the city.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I texted Greg this. And I don't know if he read it on the air or not. Sunset Grill, is Sunset Grill still open? Grill and Cantina.
I'm not sure.
I would throw my hat in the ring.
Your sombrero.
My sombrero into the ring.
See.
on Cinco de Mayo for best nachos in the state.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi.
Hey, you got any drinks? I have an old margarita video that I can repost. I got to make something else tonight. Maybe something else. Yeah, send me some suggestions.
Yeah, something festive.
Yeah. If you could. That'd be great.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, Julian Edelman, voted in by fans to the Patriots Hall of Fame. He'll be joined by Bill Parcells, 37th member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's going in before Adam Vinatieri. I have a minor gripe about that, though it's hard to kick and scream too much because I imagine all those guys get in. Real quick, Keith, the bullpen. How concerned are you about their struggles? They blow more leads over the weekend, back-to-back games against the Twins.
Yeah, hard not to be concerned. You know, at one point early in the year felt like a strength of the team. You know, the starting pitching wasn't great. The offense was pretty inconsistent, but it felt like if you got into the pen with the lead, you were going to win. Now I do not feel that way. Now I don't feel that way. And I know Cora has like this commitment to Whitlock, throwing two innings every time he's out there. You know, at one point Slayton felt like a guy that was nails. Now, yeah, I'm definitely concerned. It seems like they're all struggling at the same time.
Well, Slayton just hasn't pitched that great, to be honest. He's had a couple of blow-up outings now consecutively. Chapman's been awesome, but the bullpen ERA is 4.11 on the year, which is underwhelming.
Yeah.
I've seen this criticism on social media. I think it's a good one. Why does Cora have to keep running Whitlock back out for second innings?
He loves a second inning Whitlock.
I know he's a former starter and he has some, but maybe you're asking a little too much out of Whitlock because he keeps falling apart the deeper into these outings he goes.
Yeah.
So that would be a criticism. I'd also keep an eye on, and I think... number one, you dodged a major bullet. You could have lost Cassis over the weekend in Crochet with that ball lying back at him yesterday, which just grazed his nose. I've never seen that. I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, that's scary.
Grazed his beak on the way by and, you know, barely even left a mark. But coming out of that start, and Crochet was asked about it after the game, and he didn't seem concerned, neither did Cora, but watch it.
Mm.
Crochet's velocity is down.
Yeah, for a guy that has an ERA of 2, he's had a lot of games where afterwards we're like, I didn't have his best stuff today.
Well,
like, how often can you not have your best stuff?
And he's gone the deepest he has into games in April in his career. He's thrown the most pitches he has in games in April in his career. I'm talking about individual games. I don't know about the totality of the month.
Probably.
But,
like,
yeah,
honestly,
I would
assume.
So I don't know the answer, but is his dip in velocity related to workload, and is that something to watch? I would just say monitor that. I'm not saying freak out about it, but let's see if that continues to be a thing in his next start and the start after that.
Well, and it was brutal, too, just because, you know, he kind of had to be a gamer to get through 5, right? Like, it looked like at one point, like, oh, man, like, he might have to come out early, but he got through 5. He was at least in line for the win, and it is one thing where I guess at least the bullpen has been bad for everybody. Usually there's like one pitcher that like has like the worst luck, but no, they've treated him equally. Tanner Houck got a game blown for him. Lucas Giolito got a game blown for him. Garrett Crochet got a game blown for him.
They're equal opportunists.
Those
when
guys
it comes
were
to that.
All,
yeah,
all lined up for wins, and the team, you know, they also like their offense kind of runs out of gas late, but I'm still pointing more towards the bullpen because you were up like the starter was out. You needed to get either 9 outs or I guess in the case yesterday, you needed to get 12 outs and weren't able to do it.
So the Red Sox are 500. What's wrong with them? They dodge a bullet with Crochet yesterday. That could have been a lot worse because they have no margin for error after him. And they got to figure out how to replace Tristan Cassis. Keith, his solution is Christian Campbell. Mm-hmm. Move him to first. Get Marcelo Meyer up. Play him at second. I play Devers there and get Roman Anthony up here and mix him in at DH along with the outfield. You can jump in on Fixing the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback there. We'll get to the Celtics and Knicks at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Some thoughts on that series getting underway here tonight. Sounds like Jrue Holiday will be back in the mix. And we'll get you another thought on Bill Belichick. Is he finally getting the message? Finally. About Jordan Hudson? Maybe, maybe not. We'll get into it next.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.